Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
So we've been on a great series, and I've been enjoying this a lot. I don't know if you guys have. If you're new or visiting, you can just go online and you can actually find a lot of the messages on there, on our website, and they're powerful. And we've been talking about Encounters Humanity 2.0. And, you know, at Easter we talked about the reset and that Jesus, I imagine a big red button, like a massive red button somewhere. I don't know where, it's just somewhere. But Jesus went and saw Thor's hammer laying around and was just, pardon? I don't know what you're even saying. Mjolnir? Okay, I can't even pronounce that. I'm like, manure? Mjolnir? Anyways, there's a big old hammer, it's Thor's. And I think Jesus saw that hammer and he saw that red button and he just grabbed that's Mjolnir and just went and he hit that sucker and was just like, the reset. Oh, you took the bass out at the very... I like that. Do you know what could happen, guys? We could maybe not do a message, and I could do sound effects from there the rest of the time. Potential. Potential. Oh, guys. It's good to be back here, I got to say. It's good to be back with church family here in Leduc. But Jesus, he started something brand new. There was actually humanity one when once Adam and Eve sinned. That was humanity 1.0. And it was just not working out very well. And Jesus, he came and he hit that reset button. And he said, there's a new update. And that's called Humanity 2.0. Most of us would know if you're familiar with technology and I would imagine almost all of us are with updates. Something's not working properly. It's crashing. It's not doing what you think it's supposed to do. And once you run the update, you're like, ah, there we go. Bug fixes. They have been solved. And that's exciting. And so just to catch us up into this encounter series, you know, we've been talking about these encounters that people have had with Jesus after he's been raised from the dead, after he went down and smashed the old reset button with Mjolnir. And that's so weird to say. I just have to say it's weird. I'm distracting myself with that now. But Jesus started something brand new. And we've been talking about this and these encounters that people have been having with Jesus. And so before we actually look at this encounter that Jesus had with his disciples after he was raised from the dead, I want to talk about, it's what Amber was talking about. It's God's promise to humanity. And so Adam and Eve sinned and God said, well, I'm looking for a way to get my promise. I want to get people back in relationship with me. So the way I want to do that is I want to bless somebody so that they, and bless not just one person, but bless a nation so that they can be a representation of me and bring people back to me. That's what God's kind of plan. And so there's a scripture here in Genesis 12, 2-3. Abram, or he was later named Abraham, God found him and was like, hey, this is a guy that I could trust. And I think he's going to be a promise carrier. And so we pick up this just this scripture here in 12:2, Genesis 12:2-3, and God's saying this to Abram. He says, and I will make you a great nation. I'd be like, cool, good start. And I will bless you. Sweet deal. Thank you very much for that. And I will make your name great. Right on. My name is going to be great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So this is God's plan. I want you to be the promise carrier. And basically the short of it, Amber touched on it as well. The short of it is God saying, stretch out your hand and I want to bless you. I want to fill your life up. I want to bless you. I want to make your name great. I want to work in your life and bless you so much. And then he said, it's not finished there. So that, as Amber mentioned, it can come through you and you can be a representation of what I want humanity to look like. So if you know the story of the Old Testament, it's great. If you don't, that's all right. I'll explain it briefly. So God said, okay, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and I'm going to make you a chosen people. I'm going to work through this nation, and it's going to be great. And the nation of Israel is like, okay, we're going to take this on, and this is good. And then it seems like every 15 minutes, they're changing their mind. They're like, God, you're so great. You're so faithful. And they're like, God, you're the worst. Like, where are you? What are you doing? We've got enemies around us. And then, God, you're amazing. We love you. And then it's like, these idols over here seem like they should be great to worship. Humanity 1.0 just wasn't working very well. And we kept on failing and failing and failing and failing. So God promised, I'm going to send somebody else. I'm going to send the Messiah. Jesus comes on the scene, lives a perfect life, and hits that reset button and is raised from the dead and introduces humanity 2.0. So this is kind of where we pick up this story. Last week, Pastor Monica talked about the two on the road to Emmaus and the encounter that they had. Well, this week, it actually kind of starts with those two. This is in Luke 24, 35 to 49, and you can follow along on the screens. And the two from Emmaus are actually talking to the 11 disciples. There used to be 12, but one of them deceived Jesus, and he was no longer with them. And so Luke 24, 35 to 49, it's a bit of a longer story, but it's worth the read here. So it says, then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. That would be pretty crazy, actually, if you really think about this. It's like the one that died is like right there. Peace be with you. Probably a good greeting to say. Peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, as you would be, as I would be, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened? He asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Now, we'll continue on with the scripture, but If you just are painting the picture, these are the 11 that were with Jesus, and they followed him, but then they saw him get whipped and tortured and beaten. Then they saw Jesus carry that cross, dragging bloody and beaten up to the hill, and they saw him outstretch his hands and get nailed to that cross. And then they saw him lifted up and cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? They saw this. They heard it. Then they saw him die, breathe his last breath. Then they saw the spear pierce his side. Then they saw him taken down, and they saw him put in the grave, and the stone put over the grave. Now, if you're looking for evidence, if a person has been is dead, I think the evidence is pretty clear, right? They saw this. And so naturally you would think, like, Jesus, is that really you? And he's like, yeah, guys, it's me. So they're standing here like, this is an encounter, just to paint the picture, to help you understand. Then he said, when I was with you, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now, verse 49, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. So this encounter, it's pretty intense. Want to paint a picture, a modern day picture for, this is one that I understand and maybe you guys can relate to. The Edmonton Oilers. They're trying to make the playoffs. They fail. Yeah, you can laugh. You can laugh. They fail and do not make the playoffs. And they end up on the golf course as the playoffs are going on, watching the other teams win, and they're swinging their summer away, sitting in the clubhouse, crying and wondering why they can't make the playoffs, even though they have the best player in the world, still can't make the playoffs. All of a sudden, the coach comes bursting into the clubhouse and says, guys, it's a miracle, but for whatever reason, we have been invited to play in the Stanley Cup Finals. All other teams can't be there anymore other than one other one, and we've been invited to play. And they're like, what? This is ridiculous. That doesn't sound anything like true. Like, how could that ever happen? All of a sudden, the commissioner of the NHL comes in and says, guys, it's true. You're in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Get off the golf course. You're back in the game and get to the game. You are there. Now, obviously, that's a ridiculous story. That would never happen. But this is also a ridiculous story that we're looking at here. The disciples thought the game was over. They're licking their wounds, thinking, well, what's next? Stanley Cup playoffs is out of the question. The Messiah, Jesus, who we thought was the Messiah, he's out of the question. He's gone. And yet, Jesus appears to them and says, the game's not over. You're still in the game. And like you're the players. I'm looking to you to get back into the game. So you can only imagine like their disbelief and excitement at the same time, because they're like, it is really Jesus. We actually are physically touching this man. Here he is. So it's so incredible. You know, for many of us, we can just be in the golf course of our own lives, right? You can just be, well, you're full of disappointment and you hear the message of Jesus and, wow, this is super exciting. There's a humanity 2.0. There's a reset button for me. I can get a new download. I don't have to live in the frustration of humanity 1.0. I don't know if you've ever had like a phone or a computer or something like that that's functioning way behind the updates. And it's so frustrating, isn't it? You're just like, okay, we'll just press this button and we'll just press this button. We'll just reset the phone and then we'll just turn it on and we'll watch the Wheel of Destiny spin and then we'll just press this button. Oh, we got it. Oh, no, it's not working. And it crashes, right? That's humanity 1.0. And that's how many of us live our lives. And so when we hear the message of Jesus, it's super exciting, but yet I also am human and I also understand that we can be excited on a Sunday and on a Monday. Reality hits us, our circumstance hits us, and we think, oh, well, and we begin to make excuses, or we can just begin to think differently. Some of the ways we can think sometimes is, you know, we don't feel adequate or qualified. We say, well, geez, that's great for my neighbor. That's great for the person sitting beside me or this super Christian over here, but I don't know if you know, but I have a failed marriage. I don't know if you know, but I had a dysfunctional family, and I am messed up. I don't know if you know, but I have had this struggle my whole life, or I've battled these thoughts or these tendencies or this kind of just like frustration or failure or loss or whatever it might be. You might say, that's good for everyone else, but I'm disqualified because like, look at me, look at my own mess. I'm sure if we like interviewed almost like every person in this room, most people, including both Pastor Mike and myself, we would look at our pasts and look at our failures and say, I don't think I qualify. How could I be a representation? How could I be blessed and filled and be given something new, this humanity 2.0, to be a blessing to somebody else? Like, my past is too messy. You might also be a person that thinks, you know what, that God won't come through. You might have doubt. You might be thinking, well, God, once again, that's great for my neighbor. That's great for that super spiritual Christian who always reads their Bible exactly 57 minutes a day and prays for 2 hours and 12 minutes a day in the same spot faithfully. And he's just like, yeah, but I don't know if you know, but I'm a new mom and I can't even get like 4 seconds to like read the Bible. Or I've started a new business, or I'm in these new classes, or like, I don't know. I don't think God's going to come through for me. You know, I haven't done enough for God. I haven't read my Bible enough or spent enough time in prayer for God ever to use me. God would never come through for me. But let me tell you, when Jesus hit that reset button and when he released that update, for anyone that said yes to Jesus, you have that new software update, and you might just need to discover in yourself what Jesus has put there. I'm not saying it was there in and of yourself. Jesus put something new in the update, and you ever get an update and you're like, I never knew it could do that. And that's the same thing with God. And I don't know how I'm a person that I'm a pretty particular person, but every so often I lose. Like, it's the keys and wallet. It is the keys and wallet for me. I keep them in the same spot almost all the time, but once in a while they're not. And it's like, dang it, where did I put them? And so you might be a person who's like, okay, and I'm not talking about losing your keys for 2 days. I'm just saying like, okay, I just had them 5 minutes ago and I'm about to leave. And where did I put them? They're not in my pocket. They're not in the spot. Where are they? And it's the same thing as a Christian. You might have to go, you know you have it in the house. You know you have it in Christ, but you might have to discover it and unpack it, right? So for many of us in here, we doubt, but God's saying, hey, you don't have to doubt. You don't have to doubt whatsoever. I've given you the tools to succeed. And here's a big one. We compare ourselves to others. You know, all the ladies want to be just like Melissa, right? It's true. How, like, she's so incredible. She's better than us all, you guys. She's actually a better human than all of us. You're a great human. But the fact of the matter is, if any person tries to be like somebody else, you're going to be a really bad version of that person. But when you begin to just actually look at who God says you are and has created you to be in the new update, then you're free no longer to run in the lane of somebody else. You can actually, well, God confidently made me to be this person. I'm Jeremy Blackwood for such a time as this, right? And each one of you, you are created to be you. And some of you hate the parts that God has put in you and made you to be. But let me tell you, that's God's made you to be you for a reason, to be a difference maker. He wants to bless your life so that you can be a blessing. He wants you to be a promise receiver and carrier so that you can bring it to a lost and broken world, right? And so once again, you know, you can discredit yourself by comparing yourselves to others. Excuse me, but here's the truth. First of all, God will use every one of us. God will use every one of us. Christianity isn't for the super spiritual. Did you know that? Christianity is actually the new way to be human and the only way to actually be really human. Christianity is the way to be human. Let that sink in for a second. The version that you were born naturally was not the version you were born to be. Christianity is the way God remakes you into the version that you were always intended to be. And that to me is pretty exciting, that it's Christianity isn't this thing you try. It's like, this is actually the new way to be human. The 2.0 version is Christianity. Jesus hit that button and says, here we go. There's a new way to be human. Here's another exciting thing, another great truth. God doesn't require a clean track record. I love that. I really like that. You know, there's certain jobs, there's certain professions that where's Mark? If you've, how does this work with the police? If you've been in the, no, I'm just asking you, my brother's a police officer. If you've been in prison, can you be a police officer? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I'm pretty sure you can't. Someone's saying, okay, let's just do this. If you've got poor eyesight, you can't be a pilot. I know that. You have to have a certain kind of eyesight. No matter how gifted or talented you are, if you don't have that eyesight, you can't do that, and you're disqualified for that job. And that's what our world tells us. If you're this, then you can't. But in Jesus, he's saying everyone qualifies for the upgrade. If you, like, maybe just check that the human is breathing beside you. If they're not, maybe indicate to us. We want to make sure that they are breathing. If you are breathing in this room or listening online, you qualify. That's good news. That's exciting that you actually qualify for this upgrade and you don't have to do anything for it. I don't do anything for the update on my phone. All of a sudden, it's just a software update and you can just choose to accept it and update, install now, or wait. That's it. It shows up on my phone, whether I like it or not. I can't stop that update coming to me. It's saying, I can stop the update, but I can't stop the notification saying, hey, there's an update. And that's what God, that's what Jesus was. He's saying, hey, there's a new update. Everybody, you can be updated. And so, man, that's just great. Like, I love that. Oh, man. I'm just laughing at my sister-in-law. Sorry, Melissa. Focus in here. We've got 5 minutes left, and we're going to enjoy this last 5 minutes, and God's going to do something powerful in this last 5 minutes. Let's talk about the new reality a little bit more. Let's talk about this upgrade that we have. And I believe, I talked on this briefly, but here's a definition. I heard this definition of salvation, and I believe that Jesus would, if he was to give like a current version, like so we could understand it clearly, a current version of what salvation is. Well, salvation is rescuing you from the human you were never meant to be. Rescuing you. This is salvation. Rescuing you from the human you were never meant to be. So he could make you into the human he dreamed you to be. Salvation is rescuing you from the human you were never meant to be. So he could make you into the human he dreamed you to be. That's that 2.0 upgrade. That is good news. That is very, very good news. And there is a new way to be human. And so how do we function in that? Well, in the last few minutes, I'll just go through a few different, three different points. The first thing is we are co-laborers with God. We're co-laborers with God. What does that actually look like? What is labor? What's a co-laborer? Well, what's labor? It's work, right? There's work to be done. And we get to do that with God. That's cooperation, co. We're co-laboring with God. We get to do that with him. If you look back at the original design of humanity before Adam and Eve sinned, what do you see? God made Adam and Eve. He created this planet. He created a garden. And he said, I want you to tend to this garden. I want you to look after it. He gave them a responsibility of work. Work is not a curse. Work is actually God's original design. He says, I want you to work with me in this garden. And God's inviting us back into the work. I want you to work with me in this new mission. Be a promise carrier. I want to bless you. I want to fill your life. Not so you can be a fat Christian. That's the North American way of thinking about it. Bless me, God. Fill my life. Those are great prayers. They honestly are great prayers. But if they stop with bless me, fill me, increase my life, and just stops there, that's selfishness, and you just grow to be a fat Christian. God's meant, bless me, fill me, change me, so that I can be a blessing to others, so that I can have a blessed life and bless others. And so that's pretty cool. And so we get to be co-laborers with God. How do we do that? Well, God's given us all a measure of faith. This is the great thing. This is the comparison thing I talked about, right? You can look over there and be like, wow, that person's doing so much for God. You know what? That is awesome that they are, but you stay in your lane. That's your job. Stay in your lane. God's given you a measure of faith, and you need to stick with that measure of faith. Here's even a simple way to understand it. Anytime you've started a new job or you've been given a responsibility from someone, a bad boss or a bad oversight or leader is just going to be like, hey, come over here and just like do this and leave you, right? That's not God. God didn't do that, right? He said, I want to come alongside you and work with you. And that brings me to the second point. God will always give you the tools that you need. God's always going to equip you for the journey that he's called you to. So what does this look like in our practical lives? Each one of you has a different circumstance, right? And so in your own life, wherever there's dysfunction that doesn't line up with God's kingdom, you're meant to actually bring the life of God into that circumstance. That doesn't mean that you stand up on a soapbox in your workplace or at your school, unless God calls you to. He might specifically call you to, but most likely he's not going to. He's going to invite you into a relationship with other people to actually be a difference maker in their worlds. And so God always is going to give you the tools that you need. God wants to bless you with his goodness. God wants to bless you with his favor. God wants to bless you with his grace. God wants to fill your life beyond measure with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, so that you can be that blessing again, right? And so that as you're in your workplace, and you're in your, it might be your family where there's, you're the only Christian, there's so much dysfunction and you just want to yell at everybody, just accept Jesus. Well, you need to model that, right? And so God's going to give you the tools to succeed in your own lane as you're moving forward. And the final thing here, this is a good point. I should read it really quickly. I'm going to do it. We do have the time. In Matthew 28, I think this is going to be helpful for you guys. That's why I'm going to do this. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus, he's giving some instructions to the disciples. And he's saying, this is just about before he's about to ascend back into heaven. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven, not most of it or three quarters of it. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Here, Jesus is equipping the disciples with the tools. First of all, he says, I have all authority, and I'm sending you with my authority out. So if you've gotten the new update, the Humanity 2.0 update, by giving your life to Jesus, surrendering your own will and emotions and your life to him and accepting his way and following him, then you've got the new update too. And you have the same authority given to you as the disciples were. Go and make all disciples. Well, what does it mean to actually make a disciple? That just means make a friend that doesn't know Jesus. And let me tell you, you probably know a person. If you don't, get out. walk 7 steps out of your house and you'll find somebody, probably. Go and make disciples. Well, what does that mean? It means that you actually go live a life. It's not a perfect life, but it's a life fueled and empowered with the tools that God has given you. And you follow Christ. And you actually make a friendship. And you don't have to preach at a person. You let your lifestyle, the way that you handle situations in Christ be the examples to others. So you make a disciple. They come to church and they get baptized. They can be one of the 19 people that are going to be baptized or were baptized. And let's go for 2,000 next year. I think so. Why not? 10,000. So he says, all authority has been given to me. Go baptize people. That means when you baptize a person, that's a tool that God's given us to identify a person no longer with humanity 1.0, but with 2.0. That's baptism. You're saying, I am no longer alive to myself. I am actually dying to myself. When you go under the water, I die to myself, and I'm now raised with that new update in Christ. That's baptism. And teach people how to obey. There's so many other things that I could talk about, but I think this last one is also important. God majors in the ridiculous. It's kind of a weird thing to even say, but God majors in the ridiculous. What do I mean by that? When you look in the Old Testament, and all throughout the Bible, but the Old Testament, God says, all right, I want God saying to his chosen people, I'm going to give you this city. Okay, God, how do you want to do that? Just march around it 7 times and then blow trumpets. That's ridiculous, God. That's like, we got these things called swords and bow and arrows. That's how we take a city. No, just blow a trumpet after 7 rounds and you'll be good. What happens? Done. Moses, I want you to deliver my people from Egypt. Well, what are you going to give me? Well, what's in your hand? A stick? A staff? I'll just throw it down on the ground. Turns into a snake. Why don't you just hit the water with it? And it's just, boom, what happens? The waters part. That's ridiculous, you guys. I don't know if you function that way normally, but I don't. But God calls us to the ridiculous sometimes, and not to the safe and just like the simple, even though there is something great about God does call us to safe and simple at times too. But sometimes he calls you to ridiculous. I remember I was jogging one time in Vancouver. I was there a part of this thing that was going on. I was going for a jog, and I saw I'm just jogging in this neighborhood, and I go past this guy. And as I go past, and I was a decent ways away, God just told me, you got to go back and tell that guy about me. And I said, God, that is so ridiculous. So dumb. Like, I'm sweaty and I'm jogging. I'm trying to be fit. I don't want to go back and tell somebody about you. That's just me having a whining little baby moment. But I went back and talked to him, and guess what happened? I actually don't know what happened. He seemed, well, that's a weird story. But let me tell you, I was obedient. It seemed ridiculous to go and talk to this guy. I told him, I said, hey, listen, this might sound kind of strange, but as I was jogging, I know God, and he told me to come talk to you. I didn't say it like that, but I said, the guy punched me in the face and said, get out of here. He didn't. But the thing is, I actually don't know what happened, but it's not my job to control the outcome. It's my job just to be obedient and just trust God. So, you know, I've kind of run out of time today, but we want to give people a moment right now to download 2.0, the new update. And how do you do that? Well, I'm going to invite you to stand, first of all. We do this every single week in our church. And the way you invite, get that new download, you don't have to do like some magical dance or like just beg God really hard. God, would you please, like, I'm going to stop doing these things and I'll start doing these things. You just need to ask. You just need to acknowledge, God, your ways are higher than my ways. God, I accept your reality over my reality. God, I ask for forgiveness for living apart from you. And God will bring that new download to you today, that update today. And so we're going to pray. We do this every single week in our church. And I want to invite you to pray this prayer out loud. And if that's you praying that prayer for maybe the first time or the first time in a long time, pray that from your heart. We're all going to pray this together. So let's pray right now. Let's say, Jesus, I say yes to you. I say yes to your love, your goodness, the forgiveness of sins, and the hope in Jesus. I want to follow you. Would you forgive me of my sins and give me a brand new start? Would you give me the brand new update to follow you the way you've always intended me to be? In Jesus' name, and a faith-filled church said together, amen. Awesome, church.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.